This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much, Sébastien Bachelet speaking, rapporteur of this Workstream 2 subgroup on the ICANN Ombuds Office, and welcome to all the participants. Thank you for this, for coming here. As you have seen, it's a new date. We were supposed to meet on Monday, but the fact that the documents were not or were sent on Monday or maybe Tuesday, it would not have allow us to have any discussion on that. Now we can do that, and it's our last call before the face-to-face meeting, and the goal of this call, it's really to go through your comments on the second draft version of the report from our reviewer, and thank you, Phil, to be with us today. It will be the main part of our discussion, and we will take, I guess, something like 10 minutes about when we will get the final report, what we will do at the plenary, and any other meetings we would like to have or try to have in Johannesburg. I don't think that we will go through a presentation of the document. It's a second version. We already discussed this version 2, I don't know, 10 days ago. What I would like very much, it's maybe Phil, just to give us a little sense of what are the more important change. I guess, for example, now you have a recommendation with a number of recommendations, and I think it's a main change, but maybe you have others, and just to tell us about that. And then I would like very much that the participants, if they wish so, give us a feedback on the document. As I was very vocal during the last call, I will try to be as much as possible not answering into any detail on the document from my side, but I hope that you will do it. And I see that you may not have received the second draft version. It was sent on Tuesday, I guess, from my side of the world, and I don't know what is for other part of the world, but Monday or Tuesday, something like that. But we will check. Okay. Phil, may I give you the floor, and just if you want to give us a short summary of what you have, what are the main changes from the first version, and we can start with that. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Sébastien. I think there's a number of detailed changes throughout the document, trying to clear up the language and remove, you know, any confusions due to my sloppy use of the English language. So there are dozens and dozens of fixes through there. Lots of Sébastien's feedback helped a great deal in that space. We have added an executive summary and now added, as Sébastien mentioned, some explicit recommendations in the recommendations area. Rather than discussing the directions, it now discusses them and adds a specific recommendation. Look, I think they're the main things. There's a couple of places where we've been asked to be perhaps a little more specific, give a few more examples, and so we've fleshed things out in a couple of places like that, but they are the main changes have really been around clarity, completing sections that were just waiting on a initial approval, and some more examples and some more specific information supporting the recommendations. I think that's all really by way of summary, Sebastian.
Thank you, Phil. But first I want to clear out, I didn't send the new report to the full group, and I must admit that I didn't check that, and I would like to apologize for that because my mistake. I think you don't have this second draft. If someone from staff can send it straight on, and once again, really, I apologize if I have done, if I have forget about that. My suggestion is that we take the second draft and we go through the recommendation. I guess it will be the best use of our time. If we can have that on Adobe Connect, it will be great. And once again, I apologize for not taking care of that to send you this second draft version. I don't know who will be able to switch the PowerPoint to the PDF or PowerPoint sent by Phil. And
so you want us to put up the document from Phil? We can do that, but it'll take a minute. All right. Give us a minute and we'll get that up. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. The time to come on that, I guess we can go when we have it, and I will start by reading. You have some recommendation, and they are number one up to, I guess, 9 or what is the last number? 9. And we have 9 recommendations, and I would like us to go through these 9 recommendations. Phil, if I make any mistake or if I forget something, just shout on me and tell that I am wrong. And I will read the first one just to allow time for finding the right version, and then recommendation 1, the statement in Article 5 of ICANN's bylaw of the Ombuds Office Charter should be changed to give the office a more strategic focus. That's maybe I can try to do that to simplify your life here. Okay, now you have the recommendation number 1 on the chat, and we will soon have it on the larger screen. Any comments on that? if you are looking to page, it will be page 37, please. Maybe, Phil, you can give us two or three words or five on that. What are the main reasons for having this recommendation and the main issue and work we will have to do on that?
Look, I don't think it's thanks, Sebastian. This is not a crucial recommendation, but we think there is value if there's going to be a sort of a relaunch of the ombuds function for ICANN to re-express the purpose of the function in the bylaws. So this is not a radical change really, but it's really trying to set out how we think the role has and should evolve for, say, the next 5 to 10 year period, and make it clearer, firstly, that the role of the Ombudsman is all about confidence in fairness, and then just set out some dot points that describe the remit a bit more. In a bit more practical terms than the current bylaws.
Thank you. 37. Now it's a little, two or three pages before, a little bit before. It's here. I think it's an important point for our subgroup work, because here you see that there is a proposal to make some change into the bylaws, and we have to look at where it is in the bylaw, how we can change it, and what we can propose as a new bylaw text or amendment. I think we need to take that on board in our work for the next part of our work. Okay, let's go to recommendation number 2. It's recommendation number 2, it's on page 38, and I will read it to be sure that everybody know what we are talking about. The Ombudsman framework should be replaced by procedures that, first bullet point, distinguish between different category of complaints and explain how each will be handled. Second bullet point, set out the kinds of matters where the ombuds will usually not intervene and where this matter are likely to be referred with the complainant's permission. And third bullet point, provide illustrative example to deepen understanding of the ombudsman approach. And I guess it's the end of the second recommendation. Bernie, you want to...
Sebastian, it's a little bit linked to the diagram on the next page.
Okay. Phil, you will explain a little bit, but I have Bernie with hand up, and please, Bernie, if you want to.
Okay. Just a couple of words. We found, probably labored it in the report, that there are sort of a number of different environments and different types of complaints operating within the ICANN ecosystem, and that a single universal approach by the ombuds function isn't appropriate to all those different types of complaints and different communities. And I think this is practically, this is actually what happens in the ombuds world. This is what Herb is doing every day, is deciding the right approach to take, depending on the type of complaint it is. But we found that stakeholders within the community, the ecosystem, if you like, didn't sort of understand the differences, and that's sort of part of the way in which we think you can manage expectations better, is to make it more explicit that there are different paths that are appropriate for different complaints, and that the ombudsman will have different capacity to intervene or to help, or will use different procedures for different styles of complaints. Again, it's not rocket science, but we think if it's clearer to people that that's how it works, you'll minimise the degree of disappointment, or people not, you know, the ombuds function not meeting their expectations.
Thank you, Phil. Sebastian speaking. Bernie, please.
Thank you. 2 points. The first one is with respect to recommendation one. I've been working with the co-chairs and other staff, and we'll be producing, we have produced the first draft of best practices for recommendations. And just to note that in there we're saying that if you're recommending, you should avoid, if at all possible, requesting changes to the bylaws unless it's absolutely and critically needed. Just fair warning on that. The second thing is on this second recommendation that seems to, I'll simply provide an observation, that seems to dovetail nicely with some of the work that is being done in the staff accountability group. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. Good inputs, and we will have to take that into account. I feel I don't think that it may change your proposal. It will be our work to see how we handle, if any, proposal to change the bylaw. But I understand both point of view. The one say we must not change at all, and people will suggest to make changes, and we will have to take that into account. But I don't think that it's for you to change anything in your recommendation. And thank you for the. We will need to discuss with subgroup on the staff accountability. Okay. If no more hands up, I suggest to go to recommendation 3, and it's on page 40, sorry. Recommendations 3, once I can, as agree to revise configuration of the Office of the Ombuds, a plan should be developed for a soft relaunch of the function, which should incorporate action to emphasize the importance of the ombuds function by all relevant parts of ICANN, including the board, CEO, work stream to subgroup, complaints officer, etc. Phil, if you want to tell us a few words on that recommendation.
Look, I don't think I need to add anything. I think the profile of the ombuds function is dictated to a large extent by the way the rest of the organisation talks about it and treats it, and the importance it accords it. And we're really just reminding ICANN here that there's an opportunity, if the recommendations are accepted and there's we're using relaunch of the ombuds function, there's an opportunity to to remind everyone of its presence and you know, where it sits in the system.
Okay, thank you, Phil. Sebastian speaking. Any comments, question? Bernie, you have your hand raised.
Thank you, Sebastian. Simply a timeline note. I note that in this recommendation you have the work stream 2 subgroup. By the time the CCWG accountability makes the recommendations and they're approved, it will be all but disbanded. So I'm not sure if it's applicable to have work stream 2 subgroup in there. Thank you.
Maybe if we can suggest something, it's to put something like this subgroup came from the work stream to on accountability of the CCWG on accountability, and this come from the SOAC who created this cross community working group. And if you wish to change something, and I think Bernie is right on that, it's to talk about the community in a broader sense, or SOACs. But yeah, I concur with what Bernie just said. Okay.
Okay, I'll talk about that. We'll talk about words offline. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to next recommendation. It's recommendation 4. Recommendation 4, the ICANN bylaw should be amended to oblige all relevant parts of ICANN, should include the corporation, the board and committees, and any body or group with democratic or delegated authority to respond within 90 days or 120 days with reason to a formal request or report from the Office of the Ombudsman. The response should indicate a substantive response along with reasons. Bernie, go ahead, please.
Thank you. I won't repeat my previous comment on changing the bylaws. However, I will note that if you're trying to change the SOs and ACs are constituted in the ICANN bylaws, and if you're trying to change something in the SOs ACs fundamental mode of operation, in certain cases those SOs and ACs must run through their process to approve such changes. And so basically you change this recommendation, if it's making that requirement, essentially has gone from being a very big project to changing bylaws to increasing it possibly by an order of magnitude. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. Very useful comment. May I ask that when we finish this call, the comments and specifically the one made by Bernie on each of the recommendations be extracted from the captioning or transcript or whatever, and put it to one page for each recommendation in maybe a wiki or something like that. It will be very useful. And once again, for Phil, I don't think that it is for you to change that, but we as a subgroup will have to take that into account. And yes, it's very important what Bernie told us now.
It's Phil here, Sebastian. I mean, I'm completely comfortable with that. This was exactly what we'd hoped to do, is flush out what are the practical reasons, ways in which you might achieve something like this. So completely in your hands on this.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. If there is no other comments, let's go to the next recommendation. Recommendation 5, the office of the ombuds should be configured so that it has formal mediation training and experience within its capabilities. From our last discussion, in the document it was written that the ombuds could have this mediation training and experience, and after discussion we feel that what is important, it's not that the ombuds itself or the ombuds person, but or the head of the office, whatever you want to call him, but it's that within the office, if there are more than one people, that someone has this specific skill. Sorry. Okay. If no comments or question, let's go to number 6, recommendation number 6. I guess it's page 43. And I will read it. Recommendation 6, ICANN should establish an ombuds advisory panel made up of 5 or 6 members to act as advisor, supporter, wise counsel, and an accountability mechanism for the ombuds. The panel should be made up of 2 members with ombudsman experience and 2 or 3 members with extensive ICANN experience. Phil, if you want to give us your
sure,
thought about that.
The first thing I should say is that we will, for the next version of this, we will, next week we'll give you, expand this, the commentary around this recommendation a little bit, make it sort of clearer more exactly what we're talking about. It's really, most ombudsman schemes that we're aware of operate with an independent board of some kind. In the ICANN setting, that's not really a doable thing, but the board serves an important function for the ombudsman in providing a sounding board, some wise counsel, holding them accountable for performance, that kind of thing. This idea is really to create a less formal mechanism than a proper independent board, but something that can assist the ombuds function to operate over time. So, again, this is something we think would be very useful for people to test in discussions.
Sorry, Phil, this is Asha. Could you come closer to the microphone? I'm having difficulty hearing you.
I'm having trouble with the handset on the phone, I think. Asha, I'll try that again, and then I'll
This is much better. Whatever you're doing now is good. Yes,
Thank you. So this is really a way of building a support mechanism for the ombuds function that can still fit into the ICANN governance schema, but be more dedicated to what's involved in the ombudsman's life. So that's what the suggestion's for, and it's something that we think would be good to test with people, but we will put some more detail into the proposal for a version for you to take to ICANN 59.
Good. Thank you, Phil. Sebastian speaking. Any comments, questions? Okay, now we need to stay at the same page, please, because there is another recommendation on the same page. It's a recommendation number 7. The bylaw and the ombuds employment contract should be revised to strengthen independence by allowing for a 5-year fixed term, including a 12-month probationary period and permitting only one extension of up to 3 years. The ombuds should only be able to be terminated with cause. Phil, do you want to say a few words on that?
Look, I think it speaks for itself. We did receive quite a bit of feedback where stakeholders felt that the previous ombudsman's independence was compromised in the period that he wasn't sure he was going to have his contract extended. And I think that's a optical thing that you want to do the best you can to avoid.
Okay, thank you. Any comments? Yes, Bernie, go ahead.
Just a thought as I read recommendation 5 and 6 as a question to Phil. Could the question of independence be linked in a way to the establishment of the advisory panel?
Definitely. Yep, definitely.
Thank you.
Quite a bit of the feedback, again, depending where the feedback came from, felt that the Ombudsman Office as it stands at the moment was probably seemed to be too close to the board and to the corporation. And the panel would be a way of helping to, I suppose, show a little bit of independence in the oversight. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Phil. Thank you, Bernie. Any other comments? If not, let's go to recommendation number 8, and I guess it's just next page at the end of the page. And I read it through. Recommendation 8, the ombuds should have, as part of their annual business plan, the obligation to formally report annually, to publish report on activity, to collect and publish statistics and complaint trend information, and to publicize systemic improvements arising from the ombuds work. Phil, do you want to say a few words on that?
No, only that this is not a significant change. Herb is planning, you know, most of this, to restore most of this, but there was a period where the reporting and evidence of activity dropped away under the previous ombudsman, and that was commented on by people. I think this is a recommendation just aimed at making sure that it's understood what the obligation is on the ombudsman to publicise their work. There is a philosophical fine point in this, because at one level people want some complaints to be dealt with in a very confidential way and to make the least amount of fuss about it. But in other ways, to promote confidence in the fairness of the ICANN ecosystem and the fairness of the organisation, you need to make sure people understand what is going on and the work that is done. So it's not always straightforward, but I think it's important to make it clear that there is value and importance in that public information.
Thank you, Phil. Sebastian speaking. Any other comments? I see that in the chat, Herb, the current ombuds say annual report will be published shortly after Johannesburg. I think it's the first step, but we need to have that as I would say, an obligation. An annual report will be great. Okay, thank you for your comments. And now let's go to the last recommendation. I think it's recommendation 9, with input from across the community. ICANN should develop a policy for any ombuds involvement in no complaints work that address value added. For example, whether the ombudsman is likely to have sufficient content expertise to understand and evaluate transactions. If the ombuds is uniquely placed to add genuine value by way of comment. Reporting, like whether the proposed function report to ICANN management and there is a risk that the role will be seen as answerable to and part of management. If the proposed function report to the board or committee, whether that will be seen as sufficiently independent. And the third one is reviewable. And for example, whether it is likely that the ombuds will be expected to review a matter that the ombuds function had been involved in originally, whether the involvement will be a substantive and or perceived conflict of interest. Okay. Any, Phil, you want to say something on that and then, it seems that it's just the three first, but we have a follow-up on this because there are 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 are also embedded in the recommendation 9 on the next page. Or I am wrong.
No, that's true. It's not really in a very good form as a recommendation, but it was trying to illustrate the kind of issues that need to be tested when you give functions to an ombudsperson or the function. So the first three are the tests, the initial tests that should be sort of considered in deciding whether you choose to have the ombuds office do some additional function. And it just goes on with 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 are other headings that you would test in terms of whether the ombuds could add value to a non-complaints function. And that would help I think decide whether to do it, and if you decided to do it, how to design the process and how to design the ombuds participation in the issue.
Okay, thank you. Bernie, please.
Thank you, Sebastian. A question for Phil. I'm understanding most of these or the general intent. I'm having problems with the first one on value add. Could you talk a bit more about that?
Look, the... I guess the question is whether the ombudsman can, has the skills necessarily. The ombuds office has the skills to understand and evaluate transactions. For example, the Herb's office is now involved in, sort of formal review function, which is probably going to be outsourced for the sort of legal content. So we would ask the question, is there enough content expertise in here to sort of really understand and evaluate what's going on? Is the ombudsman uniquely placed for that? So it's really saying, yes, the ombudsman might be seen as a sort of fair and honest broker, but when you look at the actual work that's being expected to go through the ombuds office, will the ombudsman have enough understanding of the issue and the technical aspects of it, small t technical aspects of it, to really add any value to it.
Thank you, that helps, but I'm still struggling with the word transaction.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Look, we used the term transaction earlier on the page, where we described three ways in which the matters might involve the ombuds function. So transactional is where a particular type of matter, so a request for a particular review or a freedom of information request, it's where the ombuds is being expected to process routinely each matter that comes up under that sort of heading. So we just shorthand is using the term transactional for that, as opposed to being responsible for the policy or for some oversight or design function. It's actually doing the task.
Thank you.
Not sure if that helps, Bernie, but I'll take another look at the language and see if we can make that
clear.
No,
I think... Great, thank you.
Okay, other comments? Do you want me to finish to read the recommendation? Yeah, we'll do that. The next page, it's the follow-up on the recommendation number 9, and it reads like this: for implementation monitoring of a fairness policy. Number 4, if the function is primarily a management responsibility, whether there is sufficient separation of the ombuds role. 5, where the ombuds is being asked to monitor implementation, is there sufficient discretion for the ombuds to prioritize their own work plan? The ombuds function should not become overwhelmed with routine work and lose the ability to follow its own priorities or be responsive to complaints. 6, for ombuds involvement with design of new or revised policy or process, there should be an avoidance of any impression of a seal of approval. Input should take the form of a fairness risk assessment. Number 7, the ombuds input is not seen as a shortcut or substituting for full stakeholder consultation. And 8, the ombuds ability to review matters that have been through the process or where the policy applies for not being compromised. The applies will not be compromised, sorry. And we have 15 minutes to go before the end of this call. I guess, Bernie, it's a new end. No.
Nope. All hands.
Phil, you want to add some? Thank you. Phil, you want to add something on that?
Yes, looking at this now, I think I'll rewrite the recommendation just to simplify it and pull the examples out of the recommendations. Become far too long to follow properly.
Okay,
that's all.
Yes, it's a good idea. On this page, where we talk about other functions, we will not discuss it now, but I think it's important to have that discussed either by mailing list or when we will have our face-to-face meeting. But here, the two examples are taken through the request from other subgroup, one about the DIDP and the policy about the documentation possibility to access, and the second, it's about the proposal from the diversity subgroup of the Office of Diversity. It's came to me after reading all that if, as it is suggested here, it's not within the ombuds function that we think that it's a good idea to have that, we will have not us as a subgroup, but I guess the work stream too, in general, we'll have to discuss about where it could go. And it's raised the question of the document I made before the, and I present during the face-to-face meeting, during the last ICANN meeting, about the creation of a third office of complaints, knowing that today we have one with staff, that's the complaints office. We have the ombuds, I would say, with board into we're taking some carefully carefully saying that, but it's the case today, and having a third one dealing directly with the community. But in the same time, this report came with a proposal to have this panel who will decrease the link between the ombuds function with the board, and maybe my idea of about three offices, it's not anymore a good idea. But whatever we decide in that direction, we will have to figure out how we can have this at least two additional function to be handled somewhere within the ICANN ecosystem. And that's something I would like you to think about, and we can discuss during next call. Bernie, please go ahead.
Thank you, Sebastian. If we're going to discuss an updated version of this document in Johannesburg, I would need it, as I posted last night, by end of business Monday, so that it can be distributed to the group. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I guess, Phil, you aware of that, and you will take care. I guess that the next version, I will be happy to go through the changes, but as soon as it's done, we will send it to Bernie. Will get it, and we can send it to the full participant of the work stream too.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think we have many additional things to discuss here. I just want to tell you that I asked Phil also to have one or two pages as an addendum with just a recommendation to be an easier to discuss document and to refer to. As it's on Monday, if you, and once again, I am really sorry that I didn't send you the document prior to this call, but now that you have it, if you can take the next 2 days to review it and send your comments on the list, it will be very useful if you have something to add, to comment, or a question. Like that document on Monday will be even more accurate. And with all that, we will have a document on Monday, and then the goal is to have it discussed, to have some discussion on that in Johannesburg. Maybe I can ask Lars, if you agree, to tell us what is your thinking about the next step, and like that we can organize ourselves. We have 10 minutes to go, and I think it's a good timing.
Thanks, Sebastian. This is Lars. I'll take the floor if I may. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. Yes, the next steps. So I suppose they can be answered in two ways. The next steps, I think, for the group and looking ahead for Phil and Deborah to conclude their work. I think the idea is at the moment to give you all some time to discuss this in Johannesburg and then provide a final round of feedback by the 7th of July, which is the Friday after the end of the ICANN meeting. Ideally on list, we could have a call on that Friday as well, but it obviously doesn't really fit with the usual timing of this call. So that's up to you how you want to organize that. And then Phil and Deborah have agreed to, obviously subject to the amount of feedback they receive, to then submit their final report, as it were, on the 14th of July. It's also Friday or shortly thereafter. So for the meetings, for the team, I would suggest if you can hold a meeting on the Thursday the 6th, to consolidate the feedback and make sure everything is in place before you send it on to Phil and Deborah, that might be useful. Otherwise, we can do that on list. And then I would suggest maybe a call, the next one after that, Monday the 17th of July. But that's up to you, Sebastian. By that time, you should have the final report in your hands, and then that will lead me nicely to the second point about process, what happened. When Phil and Deborah submit the report, what happens with the report? That was something that was discussed last week, and I kind of gave a non-answer because I wasn't entirely sure. My understanding is that the report will go to you, the sub-team, and will then feed into, obviously, the work of Workstream 2 and be part of any recommendations or conclusions that come out of that. And which will then undergo the usual approval process, public comments, board resolution, et cetera, at the end of that. It will also go to the board, and that's where the confusion was last time, what can the board do? The board will not act on this in any way, I've been informed, before Workstream 2 hasn't made its recommendation and before the board hasn't reacted to or approved of the Workstream 2 outcome, and is also, to my understanding, no reason to believe that the board would recommend anything different to what the Workstream 2 comes up with. At least that's the viewpoint at this moment. I hope this is helpful. Sebastian, any follow-up questions from that? Or anybody else?
Yes. Yes, thank you, Lars. Just to be sure, can you tell again when you think that it will be useful to have a call of this group? I heard you talking about the 3rd of July, the 7th of July, the 17th of July, both of them, some of them. Can you tell us again when you think that it will be useful for our group to meet?
Thanks, Sebastian. I'm sorry for being as clear as I would have liked to be. So the current deadlines for work, that's what I'm going to start with, are the 7th of July, Friday, for feedback, and then the 14th of July for Phil and Deborah to submit their final report. And based on that, I would suggest you could have a call on Thursday, the 6th of July, the day before the feedback is due, to make sure that the purpose of that call would be to consolidate all feedback that received from during Johannesburg and then pass it on to Phil and Deborah. And then I would recommend the next call after that to be back on the Monday's usual Monday slot on the 17th of July, which is when you will have received the final report. Phil and Deborah have concluded their work, and then it will be up to you to incorporate the outcome of this into your own Workstream 2 work.
Okay, thank you very much. And you suggest one in the, you now suggest the 6th of July. We will say check with the timing, but I think if we want to be sure that Phil and Deborah take in on board everything we say, maybe we need to give them 48 hours and not just 24 hours, and I would suggest maybe the 5th of July, but we will check on that and come back to you. And then sometime 17th of July, it will start to become difficult. Some people will be in holidays. I may be traveling to Africa, and I don't know yet, but we will manage that and see how we can do that. Thank you, Lars, for your comments and input. Bernie, please, and we have 3 minutes to go.
Thank you, Sebastian. Simply a note, let's not forget that a lot of our staff support is based in the U.S., and that the 4th of July is a very large and important holiday for that segment, and so 4th and 5th may be difficult. We can make arrangements, of course, if we know ahead of time, but this is my plea to you that the 6th would probably be better, and the sooner the better, if we know exactly when you want to hold those meetings. Thank you.
Okay. I understand, and I just to be open with you, the 6th of July, I have a full day of the committee searching for the new CEO of AFNIC, and I may be a little bit busy, but I will check if we can do that at the last slot of the day, and I know that some of you are not very happy with this slot, but I will not be able to do anything else if it's on 6. But let's check, and I will come back to you, Bernie, and see what are the different possibilities. My last point, and I would like very much you to think about that, and maybe we can have some exchange on mail, what we want to achieve during Johannesburg. If we want to have comments, of course, we will make a presentation on the plenary. But do we want to send a short document to have some feedback? It's not a comment period. It's not something I would say so official, but to have some feedback from SONACs. I know that normally we are supposed to go first to the plenary, but if we want to take into account the Johannesburg meeting, maybe we can ask the participants to this subgroup that they make some reporting to their SOAC constituency and so on, and give us feedback. It's at least my suggestion, but I would like you to think about and to tell me if you agree with that. Bernie, please.
Just a note, an official request to SOs and ACs during a policy forum, and I started requesting some of these more than a month ago for other groups, were met with death silence. If you're not on the schedule for an official presentation to SOs or ACs in Johannesburg, I don't think anything is going to work. If people are asked about it, that's great. The second point I'll make is that I don't think it's very practical just from obtaining comments and working in the results of that to go to both the community and the plenary. The plenary is looking forward to this report. There will be sufficient time to discuss it and gather input. And let's not forget that the members and the participants in the plenary do represent all the SOs and ACs. Thank you.
Thank you, Benny. And I agree with you. It's why I was more thinking about us as a member of the subgroup to take on board that in any discussion in our own SOACs or subgroup or part of the community. But thank you very much. And now we are 1 minute late, and you may have some other calls starting at 2 p.m. UTC. Thank you very much for your participation. If you have any comments, additional questions, feel free to send that to the list. It will be very useful. And thank you for your participation, and see you in Johannesburg for the one traveling, and keep in touch for the other. Phil, thank you very much for your participation and your document, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye. The call is adjourned. Bye.
Bye. Bye.